My name is Jim Phillips. I am a Native American in birth and culture. My name among the Lakota is Shugamiatataka. That means traveling dog or the wolf that follows the buffalo herds. I wrote a series of essays about 40 years ago to try to reach my people that were so devastated with alcoholism and despair. My own family came from every avenue of the Indian culture. I am Brule Lakota, Santee Dakota, Ojibwe, Chickasaw, and Cherokee. My great-grandfather on my mother's side was killed in 1905 because he would not sign another treaty called the Dawes Act. They took his land. They shot him down, trespassing on his own land. His name was John Wilburn. There were many Indians that did not want to sign the treaty again when they nullified all other treaties, the Dawes Act. My grandfather was one of them. My people have never been on the rolls, Indian rolls, from that side of the family at all. He was killed as an enemy of the state and of the nation. He was simply, he had a ranch. He had cattle, pigs, chickens, goats, a small dairy. And he sold chickens, eggs, milk to the community. But they decided that they were going to reallot the land in Indian Territory, and that Indian Territory is going to become the state of Oklahoma. He said, when I signed the treaty, you said that you would honor that treaty as long as the wind would blow, the grass would grow, and the waters would flow. I signed that treaty, it's fine to me. They said, Mr. Wilburn, your land is not yours anymore. We have taken it. It's now a white man's land. And if you go and trespass on this land, you will be shot as a trespasser. He said, I'm too old to start over again. Whatever you must do, you must do. Whatever I must do, I must do. I will trust the old treaty. He got his children and his wife, put them in a buckboard, and drove his cattle down to his pasture one morning. And when he came there, there was a white boy standing down there with a shotgun. And the white boy says, Mr. Wilburn, this is not your land anymore. You cannot put your cattle in here. If you get out of the wagon, I will shoot you. Mr. Wilburn just ignored him, got out of the wagon. He shot and killed. The boy shot and killed my great-grandfather. My grandfather told me he never will forget the sound of the gun that killed his father. They scattered. Many of them came to California so they'd be mistaken for white Okies, so they could have something that they could keep, and nobody would take it away from them because they weren't going to tell anybody they were Indians. The Indian Removal Act moved a lot of Indians into Indian Territory. It was never supposed to be taken over by whites, but they didn't know there were precious metals and gold and black gold in these places and coal. After the Civil War, they took half of it away because some of the Indians were in Civil War as Civil War soldiers. My Chickasaw side of my family were very famous chiefs. And Sam Paul's one of them. I am 132nd Scots from Smith Paul, which was a nephew of John Paul Jones, the American. Actually, the inventor, the originator of the American Navy. He went and moved in and lived among the Chickasaws. And went with them when they were forced to remove from Mississippi, where they had great plantations and corn. The American Indian was the greatest farmers in the world. They developed corn. genetically developed it from wild maize. They developed tomatoes from the nightshade, the deadly nightshade plant. They developed peppers, which are called chilies. They developed potatoes, many strains of potatoes. They fed the world. When Columbus came to America, he took back food that Europe was starving. Peanuts, all of these things came from America, yams. The Indian was a giver. Excuse me. This little story that I'm going to read to you today is an introduction to the thoughts and customs of the American Indian. That's what I titled this little series of essays that I wrote so many years ago. The Chickasaw side of my family moved into Indian territory, which became known as Paul's Valley, or Smith Paul's Valley, from my great-great-great-grandfather and grandmother, Elatika Moshukchu, which married Smith Paul. They had 5,200 acres under cultivation when the Dawes Act came along. And as far as I know, not one thing, nor the Paul Mansion, is in the hands of the Paul family today. It was all relocated, reallocated. An introduction to the thoughts and customs of the American Indian. This essay is made up of a series of lessons based upon the different spheres of life and thought among the American Plains Indian. The old saying, a typical Indian, is not exactly totally true. There is no such thing as a typical Indian. The American Aboriginal was as diverse in his culture as the European compared to the Asian. Their dress was very different. Their habits of eating certain animals and looking at others as taboo was sometimes quite opposite. The Blackfoot, for example, looked upon fish as the underwater people and would never eat fish, along with the Apache would never eat fish. Other tribes relished fish as just another type of flesh that Grandfather God had given to them. Some Indian nations would eat dog or horse, while others looked upon these things as sacred gifts from the grandfather above. The word dog is Shuka. The word horse is Shukawakan. That means the holy dog. And God gave that horse to them as a great gift. And the dog is a great gift. Some of the people were stationary in their living, while others were nomadic and semi-nomadic. While the North American Indians' dress and appearance varied greatly, some things were quite indicative of all the tribes and universally common. All North American Indians believed in individual freedom of choice. No one person was allowed to usurp authority over or speak for another man. U.S. government, in ignorance of this point, would try to get a person that they designated as a chief to sign a treaty for all of those in his nation, which is totally unsound according to Indian customs. We hear, and this is by way of parenthesis, we hear the term Indian princess and Indian prince and all this. There was no Indian princes and no Indian princes among the American Indian. The white culture believed that, and they call these kings over people. There were no kings over the people. Not in North America. A man did not become a warrior unless that is what he wished to be. He was not forced to fight in just any battle, even if he was a warrior. If he was not comfortable with the war leader or the enemy he was to fight, it was not compulsory for him to fight in this battle. There wasn't any such thing as the draft among the American Indian peoples. Every one of these nations of people had a great respect for the earth that they roamed. The Indian loved his brother animals as equal creations of the Great Spirit. The white man's Bible says that God is all-knowing and that even a simple sparrow does not fall to the earth without his care or without his knowledge. Native Americans did not believe that the land could be owned by any man, Indian or white. A man cannot outlast a single stone, let alone a piece of land. Only Grandfather, our God, can own a tree, a buffalo, a deer, a sparrow, or land. Grandfather owns all things. We are only allowed to use them as long as we live. Then it is someone else's time to use these gifts and be administrators of those things for God. Indians were very religious people. There was no such thing as an atheist among the people. Some were more religious than others. Some prayed more often than others. Some lived their religion so deeply that they became spiritual leaders or shamans. The Dakota, Lakota, or as the white man calls them, the Sioux Nation, believed in suffering through self-inflicted pain to know the will of the Spirit. These people cut themselves and believed the pain and the sacrifice would cleanse the spirit, and they would be born anew and make them more attentive to his voice. These are called the Sundance people. These same people held an annual Sundance in which voluntary individuals would suffer for the whole tribe in seeking the will of the knowledge to be imparted to them. The Dakota Nation had so gathered at the Little Big Horn when General Custer arrived, Sitting Bull, a spiritual leader, a medicine man. He was an Indian preacher. Had made over 200 cuts in his shoulders and arms and chest to seek the deliverance of his people from the white man who was invading and descending their land, desecrating their land. The white man who was invading and desecrating their land, Grandfather sent him a vision and told him that this day, the spirit would deliver this group of soldiers into the nation's hands. Other groups of Native American people used peyote to seek the will of God. This is what we call drug-induced visions. This peyote is a hallucinatory drug to cause them to dream and find the will of the Spirit. The native people of this land were very surprised to see a people come here who did not believe in God. Now, the Lakota Nation, when they saw the Comanches and the Apaches using this peyote, they said, this is cheap religion. They're making shortcuts to God. They didn't believe in that. People became very desperate when they had the ghost dances, and that's where the Wounded Knee Massacre took place. A moment ago I said the native people of this land were surprised to see a people come here who did not believe in God. A people who wanted to possess the land which only Grandfather could own, a people who could kill an animal without compassion and respect, and a people whom they began to think were another race of wicked animals that they haven't met before, a people who had no spirit or souls, a people without the ability to love or respect the creation of God. In another story I told about the pipe ceremony. When an Indian made a contract in marriage as a tribe with another tribe, they would smoke a pipe, and that pipe they would call God to be their witness. That pipe was an altar, like going to church. It was like having Holy Communion and calling God to come and be with you and witness this. And so neither party could ever break this treaty. And if they did, they would be infidels. They would be atheists, because no one would break a treaty that was made with God in their presence. That was impossible. You became a no person. You became an atheist. You became a God hater when you did this. And then the Indians saw the white man do this over and over again. They said, something's wrong with these people. They don't believe in God at all. the Indian schools and the missions that they put among the schools in California, the great line of missions up the Highway 1, these were all slave plantations. They took the Indians in there, raped and pillaged them. All the Indians that weren't on these slave plantations were wild Indians and subject to being hunted as an animal. Indians were forced upon reservations after all the treaties were broken. The white man would just break a treaty and make another one. That's what the Dawes Act was. It was a breaking of all treaties and making another one. My great-great-grandfather, Samuel Eichard Paul, was an Indian chief among the Chickasaws. And he told his people, we have to comply to the white culture. We must divide our own land before the white man comes and takes it all away from us. And he'll divide us and take the best. We must divide our land fairly before he comes. And let's outrun the Dawes Act. Well, he was killed because he was considered a traitor to his people in December the 19th, 1891, by his own son. He was shot as he was having dinner in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. They thought that he was a traitor at that time. Later on, they realized that he was a great visionary. And that if they had done what he did, what he asked to do, they could have handled their own affairs and controlled their own destiny. He was the first Indian to become an American citizen. He said if an Indian becomes an American citizen, of course, they would not allow that for many years. But he was the first Indian to become an American citizen. He said, surely they will protect us if we're Americans. We're Indians, we're nothing. We're American citizens, we'll be protected. Well, he was way ahead of his time. My last little phrase here in this lesson, as we go back to it, Introduction to the Thoughts and Customs of the American Indian. My prayers to the reader are that they may see the value of the cultures and the philosophy of the Native American people of this land, that these shall be greatly enrich your land, your mind and your lives also. All of the things that I read in this book is what the grandfathers handed down to us. These are the legends. These are the stories. This is what made the people tick. These are the things that made us Indians. Thank you for your attention. May the Lord go with you, the Lord of the American Indian, Jesus of the Bible, the one that became flesh to give his life for us. And threw it all away. He gave everything away when he was on this earth. The Indian giveaway was a type of that. He gave his life that we might have life. John 1:14 says, Kai ho logo sarx aganito in the Greek language. And the word, and that word there means and the Jehovah. That's a Hebraism from the word ha the bar in the Old Testament. Ha the bar, when they came to the name Jehovah, which we do not know how to say, they would say ha the bar, the word, or Hashem, the name. And in the New Testament, it says, and the word, the Jehovah. Jehovah means he who shall become. And Jehovah, the one who shall become, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw all of the glory of the great God, the creator of all things. And the government of that time, of his own people, crucified him, beat him, insulted him, would not have it. Well, as an American Indian, I understand about all those abuses. But that was our God that came to the earth. Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53 talked about him being rejected by his own people, that we might have life. And it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, not just mankind. The Bible says that the earth moans and cries and mourns for the redemption, the buying back of it again, to put it back in harmony with him. A great man one time, a theologian, said, Dr. E.A. Shriver, he said, God didn't create anything in its final form, but all things might be brought back into harmony with him through the merits of his eternal Son, Jesus Christ. God bless you. Walk and talk at Kisumu.